T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Texter Ace, hey, Tara, I'm so glad you're discussing children and the vaccine today. I have neighbors and casual friends that are trying to force their 14-year-old to take the vaccine. She has had the first one and it traumatized her. She's terrified of needles. Her father told me he even held her down and could not keep her still enough. Well, there's good reason to pause that now, as we have the LA Times coming forward, Lee, and admitting, okay, maybe we were a little hasty recommending this for kids. That's good. That's a start. We have the UK health system not recommending it for kids 18 and under. They used the word dangerous and said that they would wait to make the recommendation until they could look at the data from kids being vaccinated here in America to figure if it was safe. And this is what I keep saying, Lee, is that we don't have data on this shot. This is not like any other shot that's ever been given to the American people, in that we did not trial it first. We have no idea what it does long term. We don't know what it does short term. We don't know why it does what it does short term. And that's why the CDC is having the emergency meeting after kids with swollen hearts are popping up all over the country, because they did not know what it would do. And now we're finding out what it would do. So you can be hesitant about getting this vaccine, particularly for your child, and not be an anti-vaxxer. My kids went to the doctor on Friday. They got all the shots they're due for, Tdap, all of it. But they did not get the COVID vaccine. They didn't get the COVID vaccine. And you know what was interesting just about that? Some of these, it's going to be interesting to see what your doctor says about this now, because if they are paying any attention at all, they've seen the UK come out and say this is too dangerous to give to kids. We're waiting. Going to see how American kids do on it. We just had the VAERS report come out, 7 dead kids, over 200 seriously injured. That is not good. So hopefully, and part of the reason I'm making a big deal is I know a lot of doctors listen to, and I know a lot of doctors out there don't always get good news, get good source news, because it's coming from the CDC. The CDC has told us a lot of things that aren't true about COVID. This is just the latest. But also because I would just want to encourage doctors to go read themselves. Do not trust the CDC. They have lied to us and burned us badly in the last year. Just get on the internet, read the LA Times story. I've got it up on my Facebook page. Just do some critical reading. It's called Some Vaccine Experts Having Second Thoughts About Rushing to Inoculate Kids. Read the stories out of the UK and why those scientists are very concerned about giving it to children, so concerned that the National Health System will not give it to kids under 18. They're not recommending it. You can request it if you're in that system, but it is not recommended at this time. Too dangerous. So I hate that so many kids had to be injured first before our health officials would tell us the truth.
It's interesting that with all the encouragement that we're getting from many of the state governments and the federal government for the vaccination, and once again, full disclosure, I'm vaccinated and took it as soon as I could get it. But yeah, I am in a very high-risk group.
Exactly. You're not a child.
It doesn't seem that there has been any increase in the rate of people getting the vaccine for the lower ages. I mean, pretty much, in looking at the South Carolina numbers, for those under 60, it's just not going on. And particularly the younger ages below 35 or 40, yeah, I mean, it's minuscule, the number of people that are doing it. So all of these efforts to try to get kids and young adults and middle-aged adults to get the vaccination, it just does not seem to be working.
And that's good that parents have that hesitation, because as it turns out, we just didn't have any data on this, and the data we're getting is scary, quite frankly. I have a physician, Dr. Hanrahan, who comments often on my Facebook page. Here's what he writes about, I posted the LA Times article, so he's reacting to that. Very low likelihood of severe illness with children, on par or less than the flu. I don't recommend it. He says, you know, the COVID vaccine for kids, unless the child is high risk and immunocompromised. So this is, you know, a doctor and what he's saying. And I have a feeling there's a lot of doctors like this out here, but they're afraid to put their name out there because they don't want to suffer repercussions. And this is the same pattern. I mean, I was able to tell you the demographic group, the gender that this would become a blood clot problem for, off the AstraZeneca vaccine in England. And bam, I nailed it. I was weeks ahead of the CDC. And I was able to do that because I regularly searched the VAERS system. And while they only fessed up to, what was it, 7 or 8 blood clots, some deaths, it was really 700 to 800 on the VAERS system. So they are not truthful either about the numbers when the media does the reporting. I don't know why they're not truthful, but they're not. So just trying to warn people here. And I'm going through this personally because I have a mom friend of mine who has no idea who I am or that I do this. And it's because I'm very incognito with my kids. I don't want them to suffer any kind of repercussions for me doing this. And my daughter is very concerned because a friend of hers has gotten the first round. She's going to get the second. My daughter is just like praying because they were just having a conversation about it. And, you know, my daughter had just been to the doctor and no way, no how we get that. We did get all the other vaccines. Lee, we got the Tdap. We got the regular stuff they're due for. I'm not worried about those. Those have very long track records. They're very safe. They're very well tested in the population. We're not getting this. And so the two of them were talking and my daughter said, should I warn her? Should I tell her? And I was like, oh, what do we do? You know, you don't want her to feel bad or be scared. But I also know that her mom is not super informed and doesn't really watch the news. So may not have even seen, you know, the Fox, to their credit, is at least beginning to do some of these child death reports. So, I mean, I just don't know. I don't know. What do we do? Do you let it go? Do you be polite? I don't know what you do. And Lee,
a moral dilemma.
It is a moral dilemma. And, you know, especially when last week, we are in a sorry state in this country when we have, you know, top virologists from Harvard coming out and saying, I lied to you, using the word lied. I lied. I knew this looked engineered in a lab, but I didn't want to be associated with Trump, so I lied. That's not good.
No, it's not.
And that means you can't, I mean, for me, this is completely shaken my confidence in the medical establishment, like the national medical establishment. Like when I hear in the future, hey, this is safer, try this treatment, I'm like,
Yeah. Well, I think many of us have always had some hesitancy to believe things because, I mean, how many times have we been told, you know, sugar is bad for you? No, sugar's good. Sugar's bad. Sugar's good. Coffee's bad. Coffee's good. Coffee's bad. Coffee's good. And any number of things, you know, you should never drink any alcohol. Oh, wait a minute. A drink a week is fine. No, it's not. Yes, it is. We've had these things all through for the past decades since we have had these federal government agencies that have been trying to regulate our lives. And it always seems to go with some type of political narrative. And sadly, that's where we are, is that only information that goes along with the political narrative of the people in charge of the bureaucracy is going to be accepted. And if anything goes counter to that, it's considered to be, you know, denying science or just, you know, to be just some kind of political extremist.
Yeah. And unfortunately, as I've said, you know, the big clue to me early on was it's not been explained to the American people adequately, I think, that this vaccine is we have never had one like it in two ways. One, it's mRNA. We've never had one of those. And the second way, which is not like any other vaccine, is that it was not trialed. It was not trialed. Normally, we do huge trials in other countries. Not trialed. So there's no way we can know. That's how they got it out so fast. Remember Fauci originally said, oh, it's going to take 5 years?
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't wrong about that because every other vaccine, I mean, the shortest vaccine trial we've ever run as a country was 4 years long.
And I still have to go back to this statement that Vice President Kamala Harris made right here in Greenville at the Phyllis Wheatley Center, saying that this vaccine was developed 10 years ago. And nobody's called her out on this.
Well, okay, here's what she's talking about. I think I know what she's saying.
Okay.
mRNA vaccines generally, okay, not the one specifically
not
for COVID-19.
Right. Yeah.
But mRNA vaccines, they've been out there for years. People have been messing with them in the lab. I mean, they've been studying them, right?
Right.
But there was never the funding to go forward in a big way. So when she says they've been looking at them, studying them for a long time, they have. But they were not developing a COVID-19 vaccine. They were playing with mRNA vaccines. They're messing with them, studying, whatever you want to call them. It's fine. But they could never get the money for a big trial and the backing for a big trial of one because it was so experimental. This is a totally new kind of shot that we've never had before. So when COVID came along, they decided to go the mRNA route. So when she says, oh, mRNA is not brand new, she's right. It's not brand new. Has it been trialed as every other shot has, whether it's mRNA or not? No.
But the statement she was making was, and she made the statement that this vaccine has been around for a decade.
She must have meant mRNA.
Yeah, that and see,
she had to have meant that. There's nothing else because the COVID-19 vaccine hasn't been around for decades.
No, it hasn't because
COVID-19 hasn't been
around
for decades.
Exactly, it's as early as we've been able to determine. It was sometime around October, November of 2019 when it was first identified.
And mRNA, you know, being around, being in the lab, being studied, that is not the same as doing a trial with half a million
or
million,
having
2 million
specific
people.
Vaccine for a specific novel coronavirus,
right? Right. And when we have, like, you know, you'll have the first shot for something come out, say, like a Tdap or something. And then they will innovate and come out with another version, right? So we've already tested Tdap this way. Now we're going to try another one. Well, we got to go all the way back to Africa, Pakistan, India, and start all over again with a new shot, even though we have studied these shots in the past. The process is very onerous, and it's onerous for a reason because these trials kill a lot of people. So... And it's not unusual for, I'm not bashing this shot in particular. There's nothing unusual about it other than that it's our first mRNA. So that adds to the risk factor. We don't know long term what an mRNA will do. We will now because we have conducted the vaccine trial on adults. So we're going to know for adults. But for kids, we don't know. And it's weirdly because it seems like different age groups are reacting differently to this shot. That's another thing they find in trials. That you can know about. And you might come out with a shot that's perfectly great to recommend for those 70 plus, but not so good for those under 20. But we're not doing that. It's just vaccinate everyone fast as possible and censor anybody online who questions it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Well, not everybody can celebrate gay pride the same way. Not allowed to. Nope. In Seattle, the Seattle Gay Pride Parade charged white gay people reparations. It's a reparations fee if you want to celebrate your pride. So, you know, pride celebration, not free. If you're white, you have to pay. Because it is, you know, a subtle reminder that you are still, in fact, an oppressor. Even if you, too, are gay. Make sense? Of course it doesn't. They're crazy. Yeah. Meanwhile, I had to laugh as I read it. I went, no. Yeah, they did. They did. Did you see this? On Saturday, Veterans Administration Secretary Dennis McDonough spoke at a Pride event in Florida and to celebrate announced 4,000 free transitions. For military members. So 4,000 lucky military members will be able to transition their gender at the military's expense, which means yours. The VA benefits package currently covers mental health services and hormone therapy. But now, for the first time, very exciting move, and he waited for the Pride Parade to announce it, 4,000, again, lucky service members will be able to get the operation, which starts around $100,000. Again, No such luck for the 35,000 veterans who remain homeless, although if someone of them would like to transition, I'm sure that they could get temporary shelter while they do so. And I read this and I'm like, I know a guy who's got stage 4 cancer. He's dying. He was in the Navy. He was a nuke. And he had to fight the VA for a long time to get treatment for his cancer. And unfortunately, the slowdown gave it time to spread. And I couldn't help but think of him as he fought the VA for a long time. He's not in good shape. You know, if only he had said he needed a sex change operation. That's ridiculous, folks. It is. It's ridiculous. All right. Meanwhile, the IRS is back at it. No surprise. Nobody having gone to prison for the political persecution they did under the Obama regime. They're back at it. Here's how it worked during the Obama regime. If you applied for nonprofit status and they suspected in any way that you weren't liberal, you were punished for that by not only the denial of your nonprofit status, you would be personally audited. I know a couple that was devastated by this. He and she both had their own separate businesses. Both businesses were audited, and they were audited personally as well. I mean, they're absolutely terrorized. Others were punished for submitting the application, not just with personal audits, but also with demands. Like in response to the submission of the application, they'd say, okay, we need every comment you've ever made on social media. So go find those. And we need that in triplicate. And you just would need a U-Haul to send it. But once they started asking questions, you couldn't just say, I give up. I don't want to be nonprofit anymore. Well, the plaintiffs who sued the federal government for this won. They won. And they won damages, too, from the IRS for political persecution. But unfortunately, no one at the IRS went to prison, which is a darn shame because they're at it again. A Christian nonprofit is challenging the IRS's denial of tax-exempt status. The group called Christians Engaged is nonpartisan. And its goal is to pray for the country and also to awaken, motivate, and empower ordinary believers in Jesus Christ to pray, to vote, and to engage in some form of political education or activism. So it is absolutely nonpartisan, as is required by the IRS. They were turned down. Now, the good news is that the woman who put the application in has not been personally harassed by the IRS yet. Normally, this sort of thing would come with a punitive personal audit just for kicks. I'm sure we'll be back there before we know it. The IRS turned her down. Are you ready for this? Because people who typically engage in religious practice are on average Republicans. So this must be a partisan group. So they turned them down. They turned them down. So they assumed this assumption now that if you want a nonprofit that is in any way Christ-oriented or religiously oriented, you are a Republican and you do not deserve the right to have a nonprofit. Unless you knew this was coming. Unless it's clear that you're associated with the right Democrats, in which case it's totally cool. Like when we all vote. It's a nonprofit too, and it involves reaching out to churches, religious organizations. It was approved. Why? It's created by Michelle Obama. So it's good. It's good. It's definitely not one of them Republican religious organizations that deserve to be turned down. Anyway, the group that filed, by the way, back in 2019, the nonprofit application. It is now, if you notice, 2021. They finally gotten a response from the IRS. Lindsey Graham thinks that this is, our senator thinks this is an organization, the IRS, that needs 85,000 to 87,000 new agents to terrorize you with. And that we can pay for all the new spending that Lindsey wants with crackdowns on tax cheats. Now, what Lindsey wants you to think is, well, I'm not a tax cheat. I'm a good person. Well, the new powers that'll come along with the 87,000 agents. And again, the current size of the IRS is 74,000 personnel. So we're talking about giving them an army. Will include NSA style search abilities that will include the ability to go into, they will collect everybody's transactions. So Amazon, Venmo, PayPal, and your bank account. No transaction ever allowed to be private again going forward in America. They will collect them. And of course, they need this army to peruse those to see if, you know, you, of course, are a Christian, conservative, Republican, and then if you have paid your taxes. So that's how Lindsey Graham's going to pay for the infrastructure bill. I thought you should know. Let's jump on the phone with Brian. Let's see if I can. There he goes. Hey, Brian, how are you doing?
Morning, Tara. Hey, just wanted to call and say thanks for talking about talking to friends and family about getting the vaccine. I talk to a lot of friends, family, even strangers. That maybe they come to me because I have a biochemistry degree, and I don't mind telling them my thoughts and opinions. There's a lot of risk and reward. I know you've talked about this a lot, but there's risk-reward to getting it and not getting it in terms of the vaccine. But I've, you know, it's been fascinating reading about even the adenovirus vaccines and how they've caused these clotting, excess clotting and inflammation. These are the AstraZeneca, Johnson & Johnson, and Sputnik. All of them made with adenoviruses, and they're causing what's called an archaic defense mechanism response, which causes excess clotting and inflammation. And there may be something associated with that that's causing all this clotting and inflammation. So I think if you do have to take the vaccine, I actually did. I took acetaminophen and did some other, you know, fish oil and stuff like that. And, you know, I did have a, you know fairly, you know, I'm about 46 or so. So I had, you know, some response. But as you go down the age scale, basically, I don't recommend you get it, especially when you're in your 20s and teens. Apart from if you have Down syndrome, maybe get it if you get Down syndrome, because, you know, they have respiratory issues with, a lot of health problems and stuff like that. So there are some cases maybe for younger kids getting it, but I'd say 99% do not need to get it, especially as you get younger on the age scale. So.
Yeah,
I really appreciate what you've been doing. So.
Well, thank you, Brian, and I appreciate your thoughtfulness on this and wanting to look, you know, and do some studying yourself. Again, like the doctor who's commenting on my Facebook page, he's saying, listen, that the risk to children from this COVID virus is nothing. I mean, it's practically, it's just to give it to them. And that's exactly what the health professionals said in the UK, that, look, these kids are just not at risk for COVID the way somebody, you know, who's 69 and has heart disease is at risk for it. There is absolutely no reason to skip the vaccine trial and give kids a vaccine for something they're just not going to die of. And again, to put it in perspective, your chances of dying in an auto accident if you're a kid is 1 in 7,000 a year. It's like 7,800, actually. Your risk of dying of COVID is 1 in 143,000 a year. I mean, there's no reason to do this. Look, if the COVID vaccine was like Tdap and like the vaccines my kids got on Friday when they went to the doctor, fine. I mean, if we had years of trial on it, we knew the safety record, and it's not a big deal, but we don't have that. We did not trial this vaccine. We don't know what it will do. And the scary thing is we don't know what it's going to do a year from now, or 2 years from now, 3 years from now. And that's why, again, the shortest drug trial we've ever had, vaccine trial in this country, was 4 years. It's shortest ever, except COVID. We skipped the trial. So this is new. We've never done this before. And to do this with an mRNA vaccine, we don't know much about those either, is it's really, I can't imagine as a parent sticking one of these in my kid's arm. Wow. I mean, talk about roulette. And again, that's not my opinion. That's coming out of the UK now. So I think some, American doctors and scientists now feeling comfortable, you know, maybe not so scared to tell the truth. And that's really sad that we have to do this. Meanwhile, Steve Scalise has had it, by the way, speaking of COVID. He is a Republican Congress member, and here's what he has to say about the Democrats, and I tend to agree with him.
I wish we in Congress would investigate the origin of COVID-19. Pelosi won't do it. When we're in the majority, we will do it, and we will hold China accountable. They are covering for China right now.
Yeah, they are. They totally are. So where we are right now is that they've sent Jake Sullivan out to speak for Biden, said, well, you know, okay, we're not going to threaten China or anything, but we're going to, you know, diplomatically ask them to cooperate. Well, that's a joke. You know, that's a joke. I know that's a joke. They're not going to cooperate. They've already told us to pound sand. And that is, by the way, progress for the Biden administration. Because last week, we couldn't even get Joe to commit to asking Xi, Chairman Xi, to cooperate. He laughed about it. He hemmed and hawed. And remember, Ducey asked him twice. Come on, Joe. You gonna ask him to cooperate? And Joe finally said, I did a whole podcast on this. Joe finally said, well, you know, I'm just gonna prepare for the next pandemic. In other words, what he means is, we're gonna let China off the hook. We don't care, and we're just gonna prepare for the next pandemic and just assume they're gonna do it again. That's what he said. So that apparently did not reverberate well. So now they're saying that they will ask nicely for China to cooperate. Of course, China's not going to cooperate, but that will buy them some time. China, I mean, that's Joe biting, you know, biting China some time. So, and then, you know, you just hope that people get over it and they're not mad anymore. And that they're not mad anymore at China. And that they just forget about this thing and it goes away and we don't ever have to hold China responsible. For the life of me, I cannot comprehend why. Why that would be, why we are going to let them off the hook. And I wish I could play the audio for you right now with Joe saying that, but unfortunately my computer just barely works today. It's just not going to be a day when we can really play much in the way of audio. Oh, that's annoying. Okay. Darn it. Really throws me here when my audio won't work. We've had all kinds of internet problems here at Intercom. Let's see if I can get it for you. Okay, here we go. So this is where we were last week when Joe was asked, hey, you know, Chairman Xi, can you just ask them to cooperate? I mean, just ask. I mean, just for the tens of thousands of dead Americans from COVID. Can you do that, Joe? And Joe dodged twice before finally saying, no, our plan is we're just going to assume there'll be another pandemic. Last four have come out of China, and we're just going to prepare for that. So Joe is cool with it. By the way, one of their other dodges, they say, well, we can't threaten China now because we're not done with our investigation. Well, we are done with our investigation. State Department put experts together from across the field. They found that thing came out of the Wuhan lab. So in order to buy China more time, what Joe is doing is he ended that investigation. Well, that investigation was complete. That way he could just broom it, make it go away. So we can all pretend that we don't know where it came from, even though we do. And that would buy China some more time. So here's Joe, I think practically begging the Chinese to do it again. Take a listen.
You've spoken many times about how you have spent perhaps more time with President Xi than any other world leader. So is there going to become a time where you might call him old friend to old friend and ask him to open up China to the World Health Organization investigators who are trying to get to the bottom of COVID-19?
Let's get something straight. We know each other well. We're not old friends. It's just pure business.
So I guess my question would be, you've said that you were going to press China. You signed on to the G7 communique that said the G7 were calling on China to open up, to let the investigators in. But China basically says they don't want to be interfered with anymore. So what happens now?
The impact, the world's attitude toward China as it develops. China's trying very hard to project itself as a responsible and very, very forthcoming nation. That they are trying very hard to talk about how they're taking and helping the world in terms of COVID-19 and vaccines, and they're trying very hard. Look, certain things you don't have to explain to the people of the world. They see the results. Is China really actually trying to get to the bottom of this? One thing they did discuss, as I told you, in the EU and at the G7 and with NATO, what we should be doing and what I'm going to make an effort to do is rally the world to work on what is going to be the physical mechanism available to detect early on the next pandemic and have a mechanism by which we can respond to it and respond to it early. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. We need to do that. Thank you.
Okay, so if you're Chairman Xi, this is what you heard there. No, I am so afraid of China because I took bribes from them And they could hang me any minute they want with those that I'm not even going to ask for their cooperation. But what I am going to do is prepare for them to do it again, because they're most certainly going to. That's what Chairman Xi just heard. Well, that was too much even for the left over the weekend. So they had to send Jake Sullivan out there to say, okay, we'll ask them to cooperate, but nicely, though, nicely. And we'll just do it diplomatically. Well, that's going to fail because we've been asking them the whole time. So how can we get them to cooperate? Tariffs. Pompeo has said it. Trump has said it. Newt Gingrich has said it. Republicans say you put the tariffs on. All right, we're going to kneecap your economy. Cool. So you could have the 30% tariff, or you can help. You can help us. But Joe's not going to do that. Joe is too busy preparing for the next pandemic, because let's not kid ourselves, the Democrats loved the last one. If we had honest reporting, news reporting in the U.S., what would Biden's trip abroad, what would the coverage of Biden's trip abroad have sounded like? Well, we've got a pretty good idea. This is how Sky News from Australia covered it. This is what our president looks like to the rest of the world.
To have a president like this, Gemma, I mean, you know, you watch those clips and you can't help but watch them over and over again, because it's just so shocking that you have a president who forgets what he's saying and can't get through a sentence, and it's embarrassing.
Listen, it's not that he's not just a statesman, and it's not just that he isn't a great orator. He can't finish his sentences. If that was my mother or any member of my family at that age, I would have them off to see a neurologist or the appropriate doctor to have their cognitive ability assessed. It's not just always a little bit forgetful. He's just some goofy kind of, you know, hokey pokey dude on the world stage. The man can't finish a sentence. There's something, and the fact that this isn't being the subject of more robust reporting from the mainstream media in the United States, Shari, shows just how deep their bias is.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, obviously there's a divided media, but this is to ignore problems like that. It is just incomprehensible that it's not even covered by their mainstream media.
That's what actual coverage of Biden's trip would sound like. That's how this looks to the world. Want to hear more? Got to go outside our borders, as we often do on the show, to figure out what's going on in this country, because we aren't allowed to speak of it. None of us. It is a really strange era that we're living in. Here's some more coverage.
The U.S. President Joe Biden struggled to lay a glove on Putin during their first face-to-face meet. He also struggled to even communicate.
In a weekend interview, Vladimir Putin laughed at the suggestion that you had called him a killer. Is that still your belief, sir, that he is a killer? And I'll continue the trend, if you don't mind, of asking a second question. Do you believe if he does agree to cooperate, then what kind of a challenge do you find yourself in? How would you ever trust him? And if Ronald Reagan said trust but verify, what do you say to Vladimir Putin?
To answer the first question, I'm laughing too. Well, look, he has made clear that the answer is, I believe he has in the past essentially acknowledged that he was, there are certain things that he would do or did do. But look, when I was asked that question on air, I answered it honestly. But it's not much of a, I don't think it matters a whole lot in terms of this next meeting we're about to have.
And that wasn't the only time Biden fumbled through a press conference on the world stage.
We could work together with Russia, for example, in Libya, the rebuilding of Syria, of Libya, of, you know, in, for example, in Libya.
It begs the question, why can't the United States manage to elect a decent president? You've gone from a blatantly sexist president who spoke about grabbing you-know-what and suggested a journalist had her period when she questioned him, to a president who clearly has cognitive issues. The left don't seem to care if their president is not fully capable of mental clarity as long as he's not Trump. Biden even this week got away with wagging his finger in a sexist and patronizing way towards a female journalist who was just doing her job. But even worse, he told her that she wasn't good enough to do her job.
And that's what it'd sound like if we had real media coverage in this country. We don't, but thankfully we can look to other countries to tell us what's going on.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.